And now a story about alleged child sex abuse among Jehovah's Witnesses. A new investigation concludes that for 25 years, leaders of the faith instructed elders to keep cases of child sexual abuse a secret, both from law enforcement and from their own congregations. Candace Conti sued the church in 2012 for past sexual abuse. She won, but she'd waited years to come forward and did so only after she learned her abuser had harmed someone else.
I had this sense of guilt. You know, what if I did something? What if I hadn't been such a coward? What if I had done something to maybe protect this other child, you know?
There are now more than a dozen other abuse cases pending against the Witnesses, an insular faith that preaches that Armageddon is coming soon. The Jehovah's Witnesses have 1 million members in 14,000 congregations in the United States. Trey Bundy reported this story for the new public radio show and podcast Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. He spoke to Robin Young earlier this week.
Trey, start at the beginning. We understand you came across this story 10 months ago when a package of documents marked confidential came to the center. What was in the packet?
When we opened the envelope, the first thing that we saw marked on all the documents was confidential. And what they were, these were 25 years worth of memos from the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, which is the headquarters of Jehovah's Witnesses, to elders in their congregations around the United States. What they basically said was, here are the policies for handling child sex abuse in your congregations. And paramount to those policies is secrecy. Keep these matters confidential. Call us before you call the police. And don't tell other people in the congregation.
So you read through these memos, and so did a San Diego lawyer, Erwin Zalkin. He represented a former member of the church who claimed he'd been sexually abused. And he has now more than a dozen sex abuse lawsuits against the Watchtower. Here's how he summed up their policy to you.
Keep your mouth shut. Do not go to law enforcement. You come to us first. Don't you tell anybody. You don't warn parents in the congregation. We'll decide what happens here. That's their policy.
Trey Bundy, some of the language from the memos is chilling. One line of instruction from, again, the Watchtower to elders reads, "Not every individual who has sexually abused a child in the past is considered a predator. The Watchtower will determine who is a predator?"
That's right. They say that they're aware of the fact that many people who abuse children go on to abuse more children, but they say that not everyone's going to do that. So they're not going to necessarily excommunicate people who have been found to have abused children. They're not necessarily going to call law enforcement. They're not necessarily going to take any action. The Watchtower is going to determine and instruct the local elders who should be considered a child abuser and who hasn't, despite the evidence.
Well, it's also chilling because what research tells us about child abusers is that most are repeat offenders. I mentioned one of the clients of Erwin Zalkin. That's Jose Lopez. He said he was molested in San Diego at the age of 7. And we understand from your work that it was his case that revealed that there was even documentation within the church because church leaders said in court they wouldn't be able to go through the documents?
Well, what the Lopez case really did was it resulted in what we found to be a rare admission by the Watchtower, where under oath, a senior Watchtower official talked about the fact that they've been collecting information on known child abusers in their congregations since 1997. In 1997, there was a policy memo sent to every congregation saying, if there is a child sex abuser in your congregation, you need to report to us, give us the details. Who was it? How old was the victim? All kinds of information like that. So in the court case, Richard Ash, who is a senior official in the Watchtower Service Department, testified that, yes, they do keep this information. It's mixed up in more than 14,000 computer files with more than 3 million documents. It would take years to produce it. Erwin Zalkin actually called in a software expert to determine if it could be done more quickly. The expert said, yes, it should take somewhere between 2 months to 2 days to extract all of this data. At that point, the Watchtower simply refused to give it up. And as a result, the judge kicked them out of court, did not allow them to put on a defense, and ended up awarding a $13.5 million judgment to Jose Lopez.
Well, you also have tape from a deposition from a church member. This is Jonathan Kendrick, who had been accused by other church members of being an abuser and, in fact, said that he was. He admitted to abuse and said he confessed to his fellow elders. Let's listen.
Did any of these elders ever instruct you to stay away from children alone?
Yes.
Both of the elders or just one of them?
I can specifically remember Gary Abrahamson as He was with Brother Clark, considerate from both of them.
Okay. What did Brother Abramson say in this regard?
Said to not be alone with children, not allow myself to get in a position where claims could be made against me.
Well, so here is someone confessing to being a child abuser, saying what he was told by the church. And then in another trial, just want to hear a little bit more sound, you have a deposition from an elder, Michael Clark, who says straight out that the elders in Fremont, California, did not inform their congregation that another elder, Jonathan Kendrick, who we just heard from, had a history of abuse. Let's listen.
We don't make that public to the congregation. That's confidential.
And that's the policy and the practice of Jehovah's Witnesses that you learned as an elder, correct?
Yes.
So, Trey Bundy, what happens now with all of this information?
Well, one of the questions that came up for us was, where is the law enforcement response in all of this? So, during the Lopez case, the judge ordered the Watchtower to turn over its list of known perpetrators. They wouldn't do it. The case got kicked up the chain, and eventually the California Supreme Court upheld that order. They still refused to produce it. So we've put in calls to the FBI, to the Department of Justice, asking if this is even on their radar. Has anybody been investigating the Watchtower? Neither of those agencies have commented, and we're not sure if they're going to. But I think the question on a lot of people's minds, and definitely ours, is if the California Supreme Court can't get it, then whose job is it to find out who all these child sex abusers are?
Well, and you write that the church is also claiming First Amendment rights.
Well, they are, and that's something you see in a lot of these civil lawsuits that are brought by victims and alleged victims of child sex abuse in the organization. So what the Watchtower essentially argues is that their policies are wrapped in Bible verse, that their policies are Bible-based, and that a judicial examination of their policies in court would violate their First Amendment rights under the Free Exercise Clause.
They refer to Deuteronomy. A child must have a witness to abuse when they report it to elders. That's how they are interpreting it. Look, many people know Jehovah's Witnesses, and many are very good, faithful people. What are you hearing from members of the church who, if we're reading this correctly, are also being kept in the dark by church elders?
We've had a large response since the story came out. But even before the story came out, as we were talking to people, asking questions, we've heard from a lot of ex-witnesses, but also current witnesses. And the reaction has been split. A lot of current witnesses are sending us messages. They're outraged. They want to know why they haven't been informed of these policies in the past. And then there are other witnesses who say, you know, I'm an elder in the congregation. I'm aware of this policy, and we don't believe that this is secretive at all.
Yeah. And well, why do you think it's happening now? So many claims of abuse.
Well, I think the Candace Conti verdict in 2012 gave a lot of people who were in a similar situation a sense that there was something that they could do. The witnesses aren't used to reaching outside of their own community for help or to solve their problems. And I think once Candace Conti came forward and was validated by the court, I think other people looked and thought that they might not get the help they need inside the organization because they too had had cases that were covered up or kept secret.
Mm-hmm. Trey Bundy, a reporter for the new public radio program and podcast Reveal. It's from the Center for Investigative Reporting, reporting on child sex abuse claims in the Jehovah's Witness Church. And we'll link you to their writing at hereandnow.org. Trey, thank you.
Thanks for having me.